father, Padre, we love you. We've been walking through these unique words of worship from the scriptures, hallelujah, Abba, Hosanna, Selah. Today we get to Maranatha. It happens in the scripture only one time. And we have someone who's going to introduce to some of what it means. There are two or three different translations of it. The one that I love is in the Old King James Version, and in one or two other translations, the Lord is at hand. He's close enough to touch. He's so present with us in the room. He's close. The Lord is at hand. And something I love about our founder, I love to tell Bob Weber stories, because you start talking about Bob and in a few seconds you're talking about Jesus. But I mean, literally. And the reason is, Bob Weber was the most Christ-conscious person I have ever met. Now, he didn't talk about the Lord all the time you were with him. It wasn't mystical. It wasn't religious. There wasn't anything like that going on. But if you were around him, you got a sense that he noticed there was another presence in the room that he was being responsive to. And what happened was, it was contagious. And you began to become more aware of that presence of Christ in the room. The Lord is at hand. To talk about Maranatha, please welcome missionary and our alumna, Dr. Nancy Nethercutt.
Good morning. Thank you for that. I'm just very honored and very privileged to share with you this morning. This word, as Daryl mentioned, is only mentioned written once in our Bible, and that's in the passage that Dr. Borchert read for us. It's also only mentioned once in the early church writings, the Didache, and that was in the context of the Eucharist. So I had to go to some other sources to try and help me understand the meaning of Maranatha. One of the things I realized as I talked to our international students this week is that though this is one of the transliterated words, in many Bibles that are translated around the world, the Maranatha by itself doesn't carry the meaning. And so most of the Bibles, Chinese Bible, the Japanese Bible, Mongolian, the Spanish, they have translated the meaning of Maranatha. And so I thought that was a very interesting thing. And then the word Maranatha is footnoted. So, wanting to understand this word, I consulted Kenneth Bailey, who's a theologian, a missionary, and a lecturer in Middle Eastern New Testament studies. So, the word Maranatha is made up actually of two Aramaic words and can be read Maran Atha, our Lord has come. This translation addresses the readers, us, and affirms the reality in the present. He is here. Emmanuel, God is with us. He is at hand. Like Daryl shared about Bob Weber and sensing the nearness of the Lord, because Bob sensed the nearness of the Lord, the Maranatha. The Lord is at hand. Then those two Aramaic words can also be divided to read Maranatha. Our Lord, come. This is a request addressed to the risen Lord that looks not only to the end of all things with the plea, please come, but it also speaks into our present lives with the cry, O Lord, come. This last week, I taught in the MWS 504 class, which is my great joy. And because it was Epiphany that day, I began the class time using Vineyard Church Liturgist, which is kind of an oxymoron, but Vineyard Church Liturgist Fran Pratt's Epiphany Litany for 2016, which beautifully uses these two meanings of Maranatha to bookend the acclamation of faith. Listen, Christ has come. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Maranatha, our Lord has come. Our Lord has died. Our Lord is risen. Maranatha, our Lord will come again, which is our heart's cry. Come, Lord Jesus, please come. Well, even from the time of the early church, the cry Maranatha has historically been the cry of the persecuted church around the world. Maranatha, Lord, we know you are here with us. But Maranatha, oh Lord, come. Come into our pain, our suffering. Come, Lord. And all the while, holding on to the hope that Christ will ultimately, certainly, come again. Well, many of you may not know, but my context for ministry over the past almost 30 years has been in Japan as a missionary. And for 5 of those years, we did church planting on the island of Kyushu. It's the same island where Nagasaki is located. We were straight across the island in the city of Oita. And Nagasaki was the main area where there were horrendous persecution of Christians in the 17th century. Almost 400 years later from that time of persecution, we still found that there was great fear among the Japanese people on that island to become Christians or to even become associated with a Christian church. Most of the people with whom we shared the gospel had ancestors who had been martyred for hanging on to their faith or who had apostatized and then lived in shame. Both outcomes affecting their families for generations to come. Both outcomes affecting the growth of the church in Japan. The book Silence, or Chinmoku in Japanese, by Shusaku Endo, is a classic Japanese novel that deals with that time of extreme persecution in Japan's history. It's an emotionally draining book as it deals with the struggle to remain faithful to Christ even when it seems like he is silent. I won't spoil the story for you by telling the ending, but I highly recommend you read the book, and you must read to the end. Don't give up. You must read to the end. Martin Scorsese, prolific filmmaker noted for violence and profanity in most of his films, does not shy away from depicting the atrocities inflicted upon the Japanese Christians and the Jesuit priests ministering among them in his just-released film based on the book with the same title, Silence. Again, I encourage you to see the movie, but be warned, there will be graphic violence, not gratuitous violence, but necessary violence to show the reality of what happened to the Christians who dared to follow the God of the Bible and not the Japanese gods and leaders. At this point, I'd like us to take a moment now to reflect on past, present, and certainly future persecuted Christians as we hear the Maranatha cry of the nations represented among us here at IWS. We remember the cries of the Chinese-speaking church, the Mongolian church, the Romanian church, the Japanese church, the Korean church, the Spanish-speaking church, and for the persecuted church around the world, we all cry, Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come into our pain. We here today, personally, may not be suffering persecution for our faith, and yet we all have things in our lives that we need to call out, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Maybe there's hurt, pain, either emotionally or physically, rejection, loneliness, abandonment, betrayal, or you fill in the blank. We cry, Maranatha, our Lord, you have come. You are here. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come into our pain. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, into our hurt and our loneliness. Heal us. Pour out your grace and mercy. Come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha. Please stand for the prayers of the people.